Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Step into the Gen X time machine and rewind to the era of rolled jeans, flipped collars, and boomboxes blasting on every corner. Let's take a trip back to the 80s and 90s, where we relive the trends and unforgettable moments that shaped Generation X and made us who we are today.
Hey there, Gen Xers. Welcome back to the Gen X time machine, the podcast that takes you back to the era when the world was a little funkier, a little shinier, and sometimes a little cheesier. Today, we're talking about a phenomenon that, depending on your perspective, was either the height of cool or the ultimate cultural cringe, the disco craze. Now, some of you might be wondering, wait, wasn't disco more of a boomer thing? And yeah, technically, disco was born in the mid to late 1970s, but as Gen X kids, we were there to witness the tail end of its reign and the aftershocks. Disco wasn't just music. It was a vibe, a lifestyle. A shiny, polyester-swathed fever dream that infiltrated our homes, our wardrobes, and yes, even our cereal commercials. Let's roll it back to where it all started. Disco emerged in the early 70s as this underground movement born out of New York City's club scene. Picture it. Sweaty dance floors, pulsating lights, and a blend of R&B, funk, and soul creating this irresistible beat. It was a haven for marginalized communities. Black, Latino, and LGBTQ folks who needed a space to express themselves. And for a while, it was beautifully rebellious. But by the time we Gen Xers got to it, disco had gone mainstream. Like seriously mainstream. We're talking Disco Duck on the radio and John Travolta's white suit from Saturday Night Fever showing up in every Halloween aisle. That suit was iconic, wasn't it? Crisp, bright, and almost impossibly cool. The idea that you could strut onto a dance floor and command attention with a finger-pointing pose, it was pure disco magic. Speaking of Disco Duck, let's dive into that quirky piece of pop culture. It was written and performed by Rick Dees, a radio DJ who decided to hop on the disco craze with a novelty song. Disco Duck tells the story of a guy who turns into a dancing duck. And yes, it's as bizarre as it sounds. But guess what? It was a massive hit, topping the Billboard Hot 100 in 1976. It sold millions of copies and even earned Dees a spot on American Bandstand. The song became a symbol of just how far-reaching disco had become. It wasn't just for the dance floors of Studio 54. It was goofy, fun, and something kids could enjoy too. Of course, it also became a lightning rod for critics who felt disco was getting too silly and oversaturated. But hey, can you really hate a song that made ducks cool for 5 minutes? And let's talk about those dance floors. The discos themselves were an experience. Studio 54 was the crown jewel, a place so exclusive that getting past the velvet rope became a badge of honor. Inside, it was like stepping into another world. Glittering lights, mirrored walls, champagne flowing, and celebrities mingling with everyday people who had the right amount of flair. And the dance moves, the hustle, the bump, and, if you were really daring, a bit of breakdancing. Every move was big, bold, and theatrical. Because on the disco floor, you weren't just dancing, you were performing. Even for those of us who were too young to hit the clubs, disco filtered into our lives. Roller discos were huge. Remember lacing up those skates, cruising under a spinning disco ball, and trying not to wipe out? Skating rinks blasted Donna Summer and Chic while you circled endlessly, feeling like the star of your own movie. And let's not forget the dance contests on TV. Shows like Dance Fever brought the club scene into our living rooms, and suddenly everyone was practicing their spins and dips in the kitchen. Fashion was a massive part of disco's appeal. It wasn't just about wearing clothes, it was about wearing a statement. Polyester was king, which, okay, maybe wasn't the most breathable fabric, but it sure did shimmer under the lights. Men rocked open shirts with gold chains, and women dazzled in halter dresses, jumpsuits, and anything with sequins. Platform shoes weren't just for the ladies either. Everyone wanted to stand a little taller and strut with a bit more swagger. And then there were the hairstyles. Feathered hair, like Farrah Fawcett's, and big afros were the look of the day. Everything was larger than life. from the volume of your hair to the bell bottoms flaring out from your legs. Accessories? Think oversized sunglasses, chunky bracelets, and, of course, the ever-present disco ball earrings. As kids, we'd raid our parents' closets, trying on their disco duds and pretending to be on the cover of a Bee Gees album. Speaking of the Bee Gees, they were practically synonymous with disco. Their falsetto harmonies defined the genre, with hits like Stayin' Alive and Night Fever becoming anthems. And let's not forget Donna Summer, the queen of disco, who could belt out tracks like Last Dance and Hot Stuff with an intensity that demanded you hit the dance floor. Bands like Chic gave us Le Freak, Gloria Gaynor empowered us with I Will Survive, and KC and the Sunshine Band made sure we shake, shake, shake our booties. These artists weren't just making music, they were creating the soundtrack to a movement. But why did it fade? Well, disco's very popularity became its undoing. By the late 70s, it was everywhere and people started to get burned out. The anti-disco sentiment grew, fueled by rock fans who felt their music was being overshadowed. The infamous Disco Demolition Night in 1979, where fans destroyed disco records at a baseball game, symbolized the cultural backlash. It was loud, messy, and marked the beginning of disco's decline. Critics claimed disco was shallow, overly commercialized, and out of touch. Some of that was true, but it also overlooked the genre's deeper roots. Disco had given a voice to marginalized communities and opened the door to new forms of expression. Sure, it got cheesy at times, but isn't that part of the charm? Besides, disco didn't really die. It evolved. Its influence can be seen in the rise of house and electronic music in the 80s and 90s. Even today, disco's fingerprints are everywhere, from Bruno Mars and Dua Lipa to the resurgence of vinyl records. And honestly, who doesn't love a good dance beat? Admit it. When September by Earth, Wind & Fire comes on, you're on your feet in seconds. Now, let's share a little personal nostalgia. Do you remember family parties where someone inevitably dragged out the disco records? Or school dances where the DJ's retro section included YMCA and Funky Town? It's those moments, awkward, joyful, and unfiltered, that remind us why disco mattered. It wasn't about being perfect. It was about having fun and letting go. So what about you? Did you have a favorite disco band or a go-to dance move? Maybe you still bust out Le Freak when no one's watching. Or maybe you're just here to reminisce about the era when glitter ruled and everyone dreamed of being the king or queen of the dance floor. Thanks for taking this extended, groove-filled journey with me. Keep spinning those records, keep dancing like no one's watching, and I'll catch you next time on the Gen X Time Machine.
Your ride in the Gen X Time Machine has come to an end, but the memories don't stop here. Make sure to hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a trip back to the 80s and 90s. More iconic moments and nostalgic trends are waiting for you right now in the Gen X Time Machine podcast feed. Press subscribe now.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.